Hello, I'm
Hi, and a very warm welcome to day three of Privacy Week. Well, it's very interesting behind the curtain here. I hope you have a lot of fun in the stream with our program. Yeah, I have some announcements to make. First one. There are some small adjustments to the schedule. Nothing special. All talks will be held as we said. So at least that's what it looks like. But so if there will be any major changes or you just want to look up what's next, you can just look at fahrplan.privacyweek.at. So for the schedule, we are still accepting lightning talks. So if you have some cool topic you want to talk 5 minutes about, we happily accept that as a pre-produced 5 minute video. If you want that, just go to privacyweek.at and there you find all relevant infos. There are also translations. So also for the talk now, hi from your translators. The translations can be found on stream.privacyweek.at and you can just click it below the streaming box video, which you already found. There's also an alternative streaming location on streaming.media.ccc.de, where you can also find the stream with translation. Great. So if you have troubles anywhere, there's a backup. You can also ask questions, but the next talk is pre-recorded, so all questions you ask, we will only be able to like forward them to the speaker, but not answer them directly because he's not here. So as I said, we can forward it, but we can't. There's no direct interaction possible with the speaker in that case. We're also pretty happy if you want to support it. So we have merch like T-shirts. Well, the cat hair, usually that you don't get cat hair, you just have to add them yourself afterwards. But usually if you have cats, they are pretty, they will help you to add cat hair. And you can also still join us behind the scenes and become part of the Privacy Week team, which is doing a great job right now to make a 7-day conference with just volunteers possible. So it's incredible fun. So if you're interested, have a look at InfoDesk, which you find on the streaming website. Just click on InfoDesk, which is on the right side on the bottom, and have a look there. And the angels there, which is the name for the helpers. And if you're interested to help, then they will tell you how you can do it. So now we come to our current talk. So this talk is from Leif Teves. Leif Teves is a German author who wrote a book which is called Alternatives. It's about people which go in different directions of the political spectrum. So people which are going into the direction of the Islamic State, people go into the direction of right populism, right wingers. So it's a very interesting book. And so I talked with him, and so we pre-recorded this talk because unfortunately he can't be here today live. And this interview will show you right now. The book Alternatives is a high recommendation from me. So I read it, and it's a really very, very interesting book. And the most interesting part is that actually Leif Teves went into the AfD, so the German right-wing party, and like talked with the people, worked with the people to get a feeling on how they work. So there's one small spoiler I'll give. So by now, he's now doing is working actively against right-wingers and helping to stop getting this stuff more popular. So now I wish you have a lot of fun with this interview. Well, so start the movie.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, would you just like to start with the reading straight away? Yes, I can do that. Maybe a few introductory warnings. The book is broadly in the crime novel category. It's called noir, which is a rather special genre, which is not about a whodunit and who is the corpse. It's more about how did the actions come about? Why do people act in this way? What happened to them? And the murders that happen, well, they happen. They are the surroundings, but it's the social context, really. That's one thing I'd like to say. What I like about noir, the film, the noirs as well, the social context in which actions happen and which characters act is always relevant there. It's not necessarily a social critique, but it's not a social scientific thing, but the social context has a role. And that's how it was with all my previous books. And this book's called Alternatives. For that, I took a very specific context in which, interestingly, we still are. When I wrote this, I thought this will be over soon, but that wasn't the case. And this is about the appearance of a right-wing populist party, which naturally doesn't have the name in the book that than the one that you know in Germany, which is Alternative für Deutschland, Alternative for Germany. I chose alternatives in the plural because I think that nothing is without alternative, and there is never the alternative either. There are always several ones. So that's at the heart of the story. And basically, it's about a protagonist who is somehow sucked into this right-wing populist party. I was thinking about the name for a long time, so I call them the Better Germans. Die Besseren Deutschen, DBD is the German abbreviation, and if you say that quickly, you get something which is close to the German word for fool, Depp. I have an investigator, a police investigator, Mr. Berg, who is looking at an accident which turns out to be a murder. And this one, for this one scene, I picked a scene for the Privacy Week 2020 where investigator D.I. Berg is sitting with a colleague in the police headquarters, and it's about this right-wing populist party followers within the police force. And I have to add, this was published in 2017. I wrote it about in early 2017, so that's 3.5 years ago or something. So the fact that I thought of this, and that now we have a very current debate. This is very much debated at the moment. How many right-wing populists do we have in the police force? So I thought this is a very apt thing to choose. I thought of it at the time, but clearly it wasn't too much of an invention. Right. So you're looking for new recruits. Karl greeted him. Berg grinned sheepishly and went to the conference table and dropped into one of the chairs. The police president sat opposite of Berg. Okay, put it differently. The new police student seems to consider himself very important. Yeah, well, Werner disappeared, so I thought, yeah, not a bad idea. You have access to the base. Did you go to the lab? Well, the technologists are not certain. There was brake liquid in the system, so he could have braked, but there were no traces on the street. But that's not why you're here, or is it? Asked the police president. No, it's because, well, when you need to be sensitive, I'd like to get your advice. Huh, said the police president. If only you did it more often. Now it's getting political. Well, Berg explained the situation. On the one hand, there was a left-wing radical graffiti person he had to follow that might actually also sabotage brakes. And then there was this new party. Ah, the Better Germans. Yeah. Maybe Berg said he may have to investigate them as well. Karl let Berg finish. Yes, that is kind of delicate. Yes, it is. Well, it's even more delicate. Even more. The police president leaned back and drummed on the table plate using his fingers. Sadly, within the police, we have a few friends of this party. Berg laughed. Yeah, well, I know that. The police student already told me that. The things that get said in the canteen, well, the one thing is the operative base. I can understand that some of the colleagues on the street would like to have easy solutions. And what's the other thing, asked Berg? Well, the other thing is that are the leading people, even a prosecutor sometimes. Berg said, you'd know some of these people, even worse. Worse? Karl, what are you going to tell me? The police president looked at the ceiling and sighed. My successor. What? Berg jumped up. Your successor too? Well, he's one of the candidates. The decision hasn't been made yet. Berg paced up and down the office. One of my potential new superiors is a Nazi. Well, what can I say? One of the candidates is a party member. Just rumors, I think. But then the minister surely will have a reason not to appoint him. Well, maybe it depends on how things stand after the election. Why? Berg banged the table again. Nazi is Nazi and remains Nazi, if only it were that simple. If the minister does not appoint him and only slightly refers to his party membership as a reason, then he will be sued immediately. They will say he's trying to limit his professional options due to his convictions. And there have been cases, and the people are just being rehabilitated elsewhere. Well, this only surely will be decided in the back rooms. Professional ability never was a reason, was it? Ah, thank you. Well, never mind. I just want a good transition in my last few days. You can believe me. This candidate I like no more than my wife likes a disturbance at home. Well, so, if this nameless candidate will hear of my investigations, will they immediately go after me? Well, the police president continued, if I tell you who it is, what would that help you? Well, at least I have a face. If perhaps someone will shoot at me from the background. Berg hesitated before he continued. Oh, what were you thinking? The drumming on the table stopped. Well, put it like this. If during your investigations you get certain information about this candidate that could lower his chances to become my successor, then that might be helpful to both of us. Now Berg smiled. Yes. Keep saying if. I hope so. The fingers of the police president started drumming on the table again. It's the group leader SD4 in Wiesbaden. Berg raised his eyebrows. How fitting, state protection, Federal Criminal Police Force. He is far away of my small circle, is he? How wrong he would be, Berg didn't know at the time. So that was the cliffhanger, and we were just entering the story. Of course, it continues. Yeah, thank you. Actually, I think this is a very, very gripping story. So everyone that wants to read it, I strongly recommend your book. But just about the story before, you did say that you did extensive research that went beyond what people might imagine an author's research to be, and where that author would go to. Would you like to talk about that a little?
Yeah, so I'll talk a bit about this. Okay, so we talked about how he went into this. Sorry, we had just a communication problem between the translators, I think. Some what they talked about in this small restaurant, and I thought, you just follow this up. You don't know any Nazis, so how can I find them? So it's all fantasy. So I thought, no, this can't be. So I can't write this book and this story, which should have some hints of reality, at least, if I haven't been there. So I said, okay, well, then you have to go there. So, internet. So, and then I thought up a name and went on the internet, got to the AFD and the website and downloaded the agreement. Yeah. And so I entered, I became a member. And then suddenly, at some point, I got an email back, which said, yeah, okay, so we got your application. There is like an interview before, so I panicked immediately. So I didn't want to give them my telephone number. So I bought a new prepaid card, sent this new telephone number. And so then I also always had my like AFD telephone, and because I never knew when they will call. So and then they called on a Sunday, and talked half an hour, three quarters of an hour, like an introduction interviews, standard stuff at the beginning. And then he wanted to know why I want to enter this party. And of course I thought about a story, what I can do. So I made it pretty simple in general. I just tried to enter the my character in the book, which I was actually doing anyway, thinking in this character, and now I I just described this character and his views, and as this Thomas character, I just played my role there, so this is then passed forward to the next group and to from the like more federal stuff, and then they get and they tell you if it's okay or not. And they don't accept everyone, and they really throw people out. They don't like take people from other parties, which just were like, yeah, okay, well. And then there was like, I get an ID, like a membership ID. Sorry, I just don't have it with me. I got a newsletter. So three quarters before the election in 2017, I could enter different like working groups for the election, for the federal election in Germany. And of course I like checked all of them and said that I'm interested in all of this. And then I got the first email, invitation for this meeting, for this, special interest group, blah, blah, blah. And then I went there. And it was really, it was like a back room in a well-known restaurant. So that was like a U-shaped table, and it was very like fine. And it was, but it was really like I imagined those people, a bit worse even, but it was really like that. So like in the back room of a good restaurant. And then I was there, and I've went there several times. And later, like on local, when they created new party chapters and like barbecues, just standard meetings until April 2017, I was in Cologne at the federal parties, like party day. And that was like really, so that was after that, I didn't believe in anything anymore. So whatever, yeah. And this is where I got the input for my characters in the book. And I also have like a Word, I still have a Word document from my book with a lot of like quotes from my characters in my book, and also I wrote comments for them. So who were the sources? So where did I hear these things? So that I have like proof what I heard. That was very intense time where I learned a lot. Okay, yeah, that really sounds well. So you have my condolences. So I talked about in the Privacy Week team. I've looked for questions which they would ask you, and two of them were stuff you already mentioned. So the first, what kind of people do you actually meet there? So because this whole topic of talking to right-wingers, the more you go to the left, it's people will tell you, ah, oh, you can't tell with them, you can't talk with them, those are like, you just don't want to, etc. So, but many of the questions I collected were, so what kind of people are those? Do they actually believe this stuff? That's a very good question, really. Because on all those meetings, I met not one of those so-called left behinds. So maybe they have them from the voters, but within the party, these are like middle class, economically stable people, like shopkeepers. Actually, a lot of policemen, pilots, well, just people in their pension, lawyers, students. So they have been. I've learned, got to know young people as well. So, but none of them I got to know. But okay, no, one. So one of them was unemployed, but 80 to 90% of those people were like, they have great jobs, they have stable lives, no one ever took anything from them ever. So none of them really suffered except for brain damage, but yeah. And second question, yeah, they actually believe what they're saying. So they are... You're sitting there and think, eh? Is that, are you really saying that? And they believe it, yeah. So they live on the one side in the same like real world as we do, and they go to the same shops, but in their brains, they live in a completely different world. So like really totally different. And that was something that like really, I was really shocked about that. So I was really like, I thought like, how can you actually believe that? I that can't possibly exist. So, and the last question, no, you can't talk to them. So, but another question for that, which was given. So, have there been things like, or experiences which were so absurd that you thought no one is actually going to believe them, and so you don't put them into your book? Well, what was very absurd, or like maybe the culmination of, well, hatred against humans. That was when one guy from there with a special position, whom I met in Cologne, and said, "Hey, yeah, like big member forum," and we talked and all, and there was this meeting, and there was some days after the terror attacks in Stockholm, where just this crazy guy went into pedestrians with a WLKW. And I talked to them at this like main at this meeting, and there was a discussion about Hauke Petri, former leader, and this you see this discussion with Petri, so this is it costs voters votes, and so what do you think about it? And he said, that's with Petri, this will be over soon, and after Stockholm we need two or three more terror attacks and then we've won. And I stood there and I was literally like, I had no idea what to say. I had nothing to say. The people is actually, he worked at a university as a, well, he has a PhD in economics. And the only thing he says about this attack on Stockholm, he said, we need more of those because that is mobilizing our voters. So that was really, I was really like speechless. I couldn't say anything. I mean, I had to not say anything a lot of times, but that was really the one where I was like totally, I was also speechless for now. This is also something you're talking about in your book. So this possibility that terror attacks actually don't come always from the other side. Oh no. And one more question, which is about this. So this is like people who are well off, and the example you brought right now from the university lecturer. So these are like educated people who, in general, know what they are doing. So, did you find out why those people work so much against like their own interests, actually? So it's of course about the voters, but this question, do they believe this or why? So I still don't get it, why people be that way. Yeah, exactly. So I also asked this question. I sat there in the round with all the people and barbecue stuff, informal meetings, and I looked at those people and thought, like, okay, none of you has any problems. What's your problem? Yeah. Who of those like asylum seekers and refugees actually take 1 cent from you? None of them. And I looked at them and was like, all of them, like, they are there 5 hours in like a pair therapy and the problem's fixed. My thesis is they were all unhappy men. All unhappy men who had no sex anymore. So that's my personal thesis and opinion on that. So, but it's not just men in the party. Yeah, but most of them. Yeah, but yeah, let's say 90% men. And those women I've seen who have been always also there actually have been like the wives of the guys there. And if I had been their husband, I would have been unhappy too, but whatever. So that's just, that's what I think about it, my hypothesis. I also have some very heavy hypothesis about this. Let's say about that. So that was my hypothesis, which I really did just came to my mind, and I thought about it. It was like, so they're all unhappy. But something else which I mentioned, which I realized, is that those in the party, there are a lot of people who would like to be important. So you have a lot of like elbow movement there, and so on. The third, so like very hierarchical stuff, and like the one who, so all of them, so not, they're really like playing very important. So it's just people who want to be important. You looked at those, and you knew that in the earlier times, they just, so that people who wanted, they would have become janitors, or someone who would like to be important, or because they believe that it's just a kind of, you have to be important to be someone. Okay. I think I can like grasp this thought. I think this is a hypothesis. You can continue.
Yeah, I'm not going to work on the other thesis, though. Well, maybe not in this live stream. Yeah, but actually, I do believe that it would be interesting to put a bit more thought into this, going back to your first hypothesis. A history teacher of mine had similar thoughts about all the large military leaders in history. His reasoning was that the people that have happy families at home and children and whatever, they would know who would be affected first, who would be hit first if there were attacks, if there was war. So they would more rarely get the idea of starting a thing like this. So that thought too, to me, makes a lot of sense and should be followed. Yeah. I believe the literature is, of course, full of deliberations, what these people are like, that become members that vote for populists like that. But that wasn't my approach to verify whether that is the case. I just wanted to see and smell and hear them and use them for my story. Another question that I received ahead of this talk, I would like this question too. Does it actually rub off? Or how much time did you need to, quote, spend with normal people to compensate for being with these people there? Well, when I came back from a meeting like this, it took me a whole evening to wind down. And the best thing to do that, hang on, if I poured down brown convictions with brown liquid, that helped. It did rub off in the sense that when I had finished my book and said, okay, well, this was research, I can now leave it behind, it didn't quite, I couldn't leave it behind. It didn't leave me alone. And since then, I have become much more active politically than I had been. So now in this region, I have joined a group that goes to anti-alternative for Germany demos. So that was new. And it just didn't leave me, because I did see a threat back then and I still see it now. So I thought, okay, I can now use this for literary work. I have done something, but to actually go out on the streets, that was something different. And that kind of activity was spurred by that experience. And it hasn't left me alone since then. So you still have the urge to actually work against those tendencies. I have been radicalized to some extent. I have become more radical, yes. Yes, I can understand that pretty well. Also, even if I wouldn't dare to, as a woman particularly, I probably would be more conspicuous as a woman. I I don't know if I would dare to take that route, but I have been told several times you cannot buy courage. Yeah, I didn't find it overly courageous. I didn't go down to the snake pits. I just had to go and be quiet, basically. What I did find interesting was that I had a much more intense mental connection to these ideologies. I dealt with these mentally much more, and that was quite an effort and quite a strain to accept the fact that such idiots do exist. They exist, and if you know them, and if you can look into their eyes and know their names, and you've had a beer with them, then the world looks a bit more cruel somehow. The world then looks like as if you're like a U-shaped table in the back room of a restaurant or something. Yeah. Did you find out in any way what? Well. About the actual driving force that unifies all these people. We did talk about your two hypotheses. Are there any more? Well, that was quite a daring hypothesis, but my basic hypothesis is that the potential for such a right-wing populist movement did always exist. Whether it was the Republicana Party in the 80s and 90s or the DVU later, or whether the potential was there all the time in society, in German society, to like these things. That potential was there. And the alternative for Germany they did two things right. One of these was a present. That was in 2015 when the refugees came. And the other thing that they did right was the internet. Alternative for Germany, I believe, still is the party with the most followers on Facebook. They play the internet like no one else. Schönhuber, the Republikaner politician, bought himself into a newspaper, Münchner Merkur, and that was pretty good, but much more expensive. But then just putting, sitting a few people down in the basement and let them play the internet. And they do that so skillfully. They offer workshops. Internal workshops for Photoshop within the party to produce meme images, you know, and they have their internet trolls and they play that perfectly. And these two things led to this fuse that had been there all the time being lit. And so the internet, which they recognized very cleverly, and that was the early autumn 2015. Otherwise, I don't believe that this is actually a new trend. The potential has always been there. Yeah. I fear that you are right. And that is a bit of a recap that also applies to what you said at the beginning. Sometimes I would have preferred to be wrong or just to have invented something, but yeah. Well, since you were talking about the internal trainings, are there real training programs, things where perhaps convictions are being formed, and is that practiced? I didn't take part in any of these, but I do know that actually, there are courses, rhetoric courses. How do I talk with my friends, with my acquaintances? How do I get find the right arguments? So language courses, they exist. And I heard about the Photoshop workshop. Otherwise, they have a whole range of trainings, but I don't know any details about what they are about and what takes place. I didn't dare to go there. Yeah. And regarding language, do they also have certain taboos that they do not talk about? Well, what do you mean by taboo issues. I don't know which topics are not discussed, but because these things are not discussed, but I know that they actually have two big enemies. One of these are the foreigners, wherever they may come from, and the others are the left-green contagious people. That's what they are really allergic to. I wouldn't have thought that, I have to say. I heard Bernd Höcke. He was taking part in the Bavarian regional election campaign. So he was good. I was in the room, Björn Höcke, and I was sweating and will I be found out? And then Björn Höcke came in. And that was really just like it was a movie, a sensational appearance. Okay, he's a teacher, he has learned how to speak, but at least a third of his speech was spent by raging about those people outside, the counter demonstration outside. And that brought me to say, yes, well, at the next counter demo, I will be out there, because that gets on their nerves. That really gets on their nerves. The more people are out there and scream, the more they are annoyed. On the one hand, of course, it will strengthen, solidify their convictions. But on the other, I don't care. I want them to be annoyed. And that works. Yeah, I can really imagine that. Yeah. Okay, I'm going back to my list of questions that I collected. One question that I found interesting and that has got me thinking too now, do you see a way of reconnecting to people that have been sucked into this right-wing populist thinking? I think you have to differentiate those that are in the party. Well, from the beginning, there were internal struggles. When Lucke was expelled, the more central conservative founder, then came Petri, who was more to the right, and then she was expelled, and then there came the others. So this party has always moved to the left, to the right, of course. And among the delegates, this was palpable. So these new leaders, on the first shift to the right, there was a two-third, one-third split in the vote for the new leaders. And I then observed how the manifesto was formed. And my sense still was that a third wanted a different policy. They were not so much keen on these right nationalist thinking. They wanted something different. And these are then, of course, automatically displaced, because as a party drifts towards the right, and you won't get them back. You will never get them back. But the other thing is the voters, the followers, that those that say, well, yeah, they're right there. We can't continue like this. And I have had conversations with the only person I knew and still know who said late at night, oh, the poor pensioners, they have to collect bottles now. And those others will have everything handed to them on the plate. And I had a serious conversation with them. And then the response was, yeah, actually, you're right. So those that aren't spending a lot of time thinking, that just say, well, yeah, these people are correct in some way, you could get those back and tell them, come on, don't let yourself be fooled like this. And I have a hope there. And the voter potential could be reduced. And I think that is possible. Those that are really in the party and hardcore members and are marching on, they are probably lost. But let me say, today, if they have 15% now, that will be a lot. A third will be gone through the hardcore changes. So that's 10%. And if you get a third of those, yeah, well, then that is not really important anymore. Well, your word in whoever's ear. Yeah, well, I admit I want, I'm being optimistic here because I want to believe that, but that's my experience was not everyone here is a Nazi. That is true. That's what they say, and that is true. But there's quite a lot of them. You did say in your book that you did not just deal with Nazis in your book, but also with the opposition, with the left green contaminated do-gooders, but also with people that go to Islamic State, which is another character in your book. And I have one question that I received ahead of this talk. There are many in Germany, many young people, men as well as women, who are attracted by the Islamic State. Do you have an explanation for that? Well, again, there have been books about this and clever people have analyzed this. But what I have found for that on that is, well, let me say, in principle, the motivation is much like those people that vote for the Alternative for Germany. These are people with a very simplified worldview, or people that want a very simplified worldview so that they can get along in this world of ours today. It's always about having to endure as little complexity as possible, because complexity is something you have to deal with. There's always a plus as well as a minus. And if I want a simple worldview and a simple idea of the humans, then I will either become an Islamic State terrorist or I vote for the Alternative for Germany. And in between, there is not much left. That basically is the similarity between these. Okay? Daring hypothesis.
So I just muted myself because I had to laugh a bit. Yeah, but I mean, that's, yeah, this idea, yeah, that we can just leave it at that for further investigation, but it sounds plausible. I think this, in this world getting more complex all the time, on the one side through digitalization, internet and stuff like that, and on the other side about just global developments and everything is connected with everything. And this saying that if there's a bag of rice falling over in China, we don't care, it just isn't valid anymore, because sooner or later it will now affect us. And I think many people just are like, they don't understand. It's too much for them to take in. So, and they think, I don't want to think about that anymore. And so this desire can get very high. Yeah, I mean, since the beginning of our society, it's like, what did the churches do differently instead of just reducing complexity to this is like that because of why? So it's just, we have a simple world, and why did my house burn down? Well, because God wanted it. Okay, well then, yeah, and yeah. So it's just easier. So this desire for easy and simple explanation have been there since. All the time, and this is how it like manifests today, I think. So, well, looking into history, it's about like opium for the people and like bread and games. Yeah. So this is nothing new, but this is just like how it manifests today, I think. One very nice question I just kept until the end. So, if I'm married. Well, are you married? No longer. But it didn't have anything to do with the AFT party. Yeah, but with the yeah, we'll cut that out, right? I'll just ask Regie. Okay, but back to the question for the end. Has there been anything in during this time with the AFT which you went through, which were actually positive, even though you actually didn't think like, or even if you didn't want to accept that it's positive? Well, I have one, really only one scene I remember where I think about, there are still people who think about. It was when they, created a new local group, and were like 40 people, and they discussed about Bernd Höcke. Is it bad? Is he bad or good for the AfD? Should he be in or out? And it just, 50% pro Höcke, 50% against. So it was like, yeah. And at the end of this talk, at the end of this row, there sat a very old man, and suddenly tapped with his, he tapped on the ground and said, "I went to school under Adolf Hitler." And he said he knows what can come from this, and this Höcke is dangerous. And when he stays in the party, he will go. So this old man will go. And he said, this is something he didn't want when he entered the party, because he knows what can come from this. And that was where I thought, look at it. So there was one people who actually thought about it. So when they're now saying, we're all not Nazis, but this is he knows what this old man was like. He saw the danger, what can come from it. And that was something I thought was very inspiring and impressive, actually. Well, having to look at the time, I would let that as a final image. Do you have anything you would like to tell our viewers at the Privacy Week? Buy this book, of course. Yeah, I can hold it into the camera. Or I think I don't have a copyright here. I said at the beginning that I don't write books which just point fingers, but I really want, especially with this book, to show that you can have different opinions and you have to think about your opinions. So I don't have any pure good or evil in this book. My characters don't work like that. Even my antagonists, also those have human traits. I just invented them, but still he's a human, so he has to have human traits. So that, you see, that's what it's about for me. It's a book that doesn't say it's black or white. It's either a colorful book or a gray book, however you want to define it. And that is what I wanted to show. And this is important. I think this is important. And I think we all we all can decide ourselves in which direction we want to lead our lives. Yeah, every morning, every day, we have to choose. Well, thanks a lot for taking time. Yeah, thanks. Was very nice. Cool. Well, and then now we go back to the rest of the program of the Privacy Week 2020. Thanks and goodbye. So, hi. Yeah. Welcome back. I hope it was also very intriguing for you as well as it was for me to do the interview. Again, a big tip of hat for Thaif to do this and to power through this for 1 year. And yes, I think that it's extremely interesting to actually get into contact with those people who want to radically change our society. Personally, I think that during discussion and talk, a lot can happen. And I personally don't believe. That a lost discussion even exists. So I think, like he said, there are people in there which you can't get back, but I think that there are also, but I still think that it's worth a talk and worth a discussion and worth an attempt to change and to to enhance our society and community. I think that the idea of complexity reduction, and that the world has gotten so much too complex for many people, is a good hint, I think. So maybe we should just look at ourselves. Wherever you start getting too lazy and making it too easy for ourselves, and we see it too black or white, maybe we should look at those spots in our own consciousness, and all of us can do this to check if we are still like, well, right. Yeah, I think during communication and during doing stuff together, there we can have a good and world for everyone with a lot of different, well, facets the life can have with all people, not just in one country, but in all countries. Yeah. And again, a huge thanks to life, just from remotely today, unfortunately. Thanks to life. It was very illuminating, and I hope we can repeat that at some point. So, and then two or three small announcements for you who are watching the stream. Well, there are small adjustments to the schedule. So look at fahrplan.privacyweek.at. The next talk has a bigger change, but Jürgen will tell you, because we're now doing a switch over, a direct one. Still, we are accepting lightning talks for Friday. So if you want, you can still give us your lightning talks. You find the information for that on privacyweek.at. Just on the start web page, you'll find it. The translations are still running. Thanks a lot for our translators. And to the whole team, you are great and awesome, and I'm totally flattened how good all this works. It's incredible. And finally, you can also support us. You can also acquire hoodies and t-shirts for your support. And now we're going to attempt the flying change and give to Jürgen. So switch over to Jürgen. Have fun. And let's see what happens. Your translators don't know as well. So,
yeah, and thanks for listening so far. We hope you've enjoyed our translations as usual. And this was Sebelis and
Timmy. So,
see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.